This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Father, we thank you. We appreciate the privilege to come into your presence in this season. We appreciate the wisdom that your Spirit has displayed in this season, which has beckoned us away from activity into that secret place where we can be dealt with. We perceive that there is a season ahead of us that we have been appraised to be lacking in the equipping to maximize. And we ask that you do that which you have determined to do for us. Ensure, Father, that our hearts are inclined to that which you desperately seek to communicate, that our hearts can embody your communications, and that your Spirit working in us will perfect that which you have determined. We ask that none of us in this season will be conceited in our hearts. None of us will be presumptuous that we have found that which your appraisal says we are lacking. Show us mercy and breathe upon us again. In Jesus' name we have prayed. A time came in Israel when it was the lot of David the king to put together an army that was going to march to restore the territorial integrity of the nation of Israel. It occurred to David that there was within the boundaries of Israel the diversity of expressions, that it had pleased the Lord to equip each of the tribes with a tool that will make for ultimate conquest. And so he began to number his army from each of the tribes, men of great skill in archery, men who were masters of the usage of the spears, men who were masters in swordsmanship, men who were masters of the usage of heavy weapons that could smash at one sweep. But the Bible paused in the layout and took time to bring us deeper into the expressions of one of these tribes in Israel, and he called them the children of Issachar. The Bible said, and of the children of Issachar, which had an understanding of the times, and they knew what Israel was supposed to do. The Bible says the heads of them were 200, and unto them were the obedience of their brethren. It became necessary in the midst of the advertisement of all kinds of weapons that a crew emerges who had mastered timings, who had the ability as given of God to accurately spy into the seasons, and any season that they could see was rewarded with the possession of the manual for that season. We have by privilege been able to do some spying, and we have found out that the agenda of God for the black race is about to boom. We have not stepped into it, but even natural things suggest that we have made strides beyond where we were, closer to that place where God wants us to be. In my little journey in the prophetic, I have used physical things to match the spiritual. And one of the areas that has sponsored my ability to read the movements of God across the African continent is our participation in sports. Now, this may look petty, but it's a pattern that I've established for over 15 years. That many times when the season of the black race comes, God begins to do things in the sports arena and in the political arena internationally. So that some years ago, the sign that the season of Africa had come to begin to bring leadership globally, especially in the body of Christ, was the emergence of the first black man as the president of the nation of America. It was with a lot of suspense that I have followed the World Cup, and I have seen again as the representatives of the African nation have moved from one stage to the other until their penultimate labors in the semifinals when they were ousted. And even though that, to the average person who is watching from a sportsman's perspective, it looks as if it's a failure, it is an advertisement to me that we have not fully entered into the season, but we are close. On the second day of the semifinals, when I took a good look at the French army, I found out that it was an army that was largely black than white. And as we await the final outcome of this World Cup, the last part of the jigsaw puzzle of my prophetic labors will be advertised. That indeed the season of the African continent is about to dawn. That which Jesus desperately did on the cross, which included the partnership of the African who carried the cross the last mile, is about to be born. As a matter of fact, Morocco, along the line, dissociated herself from the African race. That she was Arabian. Well, the story will be told in the coming year as to the prophecy in this World Cup. But the Bible says to us in Romans chapter 1 that in deploying the wisdom of God, God has labored to ensure that no man is without excuse in any dispensation as to what he's doing, so that the things that are unseen have been hidden in the things that we can see. There is something that God is doing. It is because of what we perceive that he's doing that our labors must be thorough in this season, to not hang around God, but to press through the gates that God, by his Spirit, will be making available to us. And I perceive that this summons to a rechristening session is one of those gates that God has afforded us. We will want to initiate again in prayers, as we want to ask the Lord that that which he's doing in this season will be accurately known. That we will press through this invitation into the realm that lies behind the name. There is an expectation in the heart of God that none that is numbered amongst us will be left behind. Yes, we have engaged this season of transition, and we are asking that it will please the Great One to bring all of us through. It was by the leadership of Moses that God ensured that none that had subscribed to the enterprise of God in bringing Israel out of Egypt stayed back in Egypt. And we come to insist that everyone that is numbered in our company to cross from mundane existence into our elected positions in God, to cross from that which is ephemeral into that which is spiritual, that none in this season will be left behind. We ask that hearts be harvested from frivolities into the place where the sounds of God can be heard with clarity. Oh, we give ear to the sounds as occasioned by the sons of Issachar in this season. Sounds calling Israel back from the war front. into the place where the voice of God can be heard, into the place where the shape prescribed for our existence can be embodied. There is a need to recover our thirst in this season, and we're asking of the Lord that in our findings, thirst will not be wanting. Oh, come so kamo mituka bahakwa teko. Belonso kamo mibo kaba vimeno te kaba. By so toke santoria kababa te kai. Lepedo sokute kaposke buratate. Ambo blitko saturia kaba bironde sumikomanta. Ambe tulia, ambe komasa. Ambe koskapate ve kumpa saika bahaba. Emo kambiele kusante brekesta taba. Ola me kombena tilian to sabi bai. Akabie boska moven tabombe kalebata. Balo sate. Eko baria sambru katate. Amimbe le soto bahante bahaya. Oh, give us ears that can hear. Give us eyes that can see. Give us hearts that can pick and understand the movements of your spirit beckoning us from the field back into the war room, the place where strategies can be recaptured and we can be launched forth with a new armor. Oh my. Alemo sabonte barahate. Baila somba tusia tabahai. Emo fatame mi foriante tua, mi foriante baraso, mi foriante keskome mbatabai. Ebati kome tanka braha kato. Gamambi ansata. Bankaten kome nentoka bandaskaba. Bankadanga batikambaraska tababiha. Abom sebente. Ibalatabambo samai. Matotambele subrahanta. Riata basanta babahai. Epapei samito belate. Oh, les sondre. We align in this season of transition. We perceive the beckonings of destiny. And Lord, we will not hold back. Ayoma toka babakaka. Grecoscope revika bakataya. You are seeking men that you can spend. You are seeking men that you can send. Oh God, we ask that we will not be standing and you will keep seeking. Let your quest for currencies as men that you can spend. Let your quest for messengers that you can send to represent you end with us. Find me. Oh mama sabe mobile yatai. Find me. May you not lack a man in my generation. May you not lack a man in my generation. May I not be disobedient to your summonings. We come into the secret place. Oh, so we come into the secret place. As we enter the most holy place, now we come to the secret place. Yes, as we enter Alamadi Kaba, the most holy place. Oh, one more time. So we come to the secret place, and now we enter the most holy place. So we come, we can hear the sounds, to the secret place. Ikobrahaske hata. Now we enter kabo mete kibahaya, the holy place. We come to seek you, Yahweh. We come to touch you, Yahweh. And now we enter Aninamosa, your holy place. We come to seek you, Yahweh. We come to touch you, Yahweh. as we enter the holy place, Father, we approach with the understanding that your summonings are also keys that unlock the depths of God. And we ask of you this morning that we will be willing to journey. Enable us with the willingness to journey as deep as you are willing to bring us into. Oh, bring us deeper. Bring us deeper. Beyond the noise in our ecosystem, beyond the drawings of our mundane existence, bring us deeper. Take us deeper. Draw us nearer to the river that flows from you. So me kapabita. Take us deeper. Draw us nearer to the place we can find your heart. Oh, take us deeper. Draw us nearer to the river, the one that flows from you. Shano Taisebaha. Take us deeper. Lord, draw us nearer to the place where we can find your heart. There is an advertisement of the heart of God that is being occasioned by men who have not touched his heart. There are strange lines that define the emphasis of the Spirit across the landscape that have been propagated by men who do not know this Spirit. If there is something you will do for us in this session, bring us into the fellowship of your Spirit, the one that sponsors your communications. Woo! The Bible says, deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy water sprouts. We have journeyed in deafness. We have journeyed in emptiness. Can it please you, Lord, in this session that we will touch life? Oh, there is a territory within the Christ where your heart is hosted. And until a man comes that far enough, his perspectives will be skewed. He will be a merchant of lies or partial truth. Can you press us into that place where your heart in totality is embodied so that we can be accurate stewards of it? Oh, where we can find your heart. So take us deeper and draw us nearer to the river that flows from you. Lord, take us deeper. Please draw us nearer to the place where we can find your heart. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. John chapter 7 is where we draw our inference from this morning. We may be seated. John chapter 7, well-known verses of Scripture. I have, by the help of God, titled this second session, The Cry of the Thirsty. The Cry of the Thirsty. Our labors in partnership with the Spirit along the path of life is not without tokens of authentication, so that when a man begins to lay claim to the possession of things in the spirit, such claims can be backtested with tangible expressions, and where these expressions are absent, a man can be invited to come into fresh labors that which he claims to have possessed may actually be possessed. For example, if a man shows up with claims that he is born again, there are prescribed signs in scriptures that can be used to authenticate that man's claim. Jesus in John chapter 3 verse 3 to 5 laid out these validating signs he had been approached unto by a great teacher of the law called Nicodemus, who was also a ruler among the Jewish community. Nicodemus was awed by the quality of the teaching ministry of Jesus the Christ, and he decided to approach unto him to query the advantage with which Jesus labored in the teaching ministry. Jesus' response was captured from John chapter 3 verse 3, and Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom." It is suggestive, therefore, to say that if a man lays claim to the entrance into that spiritual shape that is defined by the terms being born again, we may need to subject that man to a question session, and our questions will be along the lines of his ability to perceive what is currently going on in the realms of God, because it is the exclusive preserve of those who are born again that they know what is currently going on in heaven. In case that man had the ability to bring to perspective what God was doing yesterday, and we find out that he has been excluded from the now activity of God, it is suggestive that that man's possessed reality can not be accurately authenticated. He may be in relationship, but he may currently be out of fellowship. Jesus went ahead in verse 5 to say that except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter. Participation in the kingdom of God is as a result of having come through the waters of repentance and having been immersed in the activity dimension of the Holy Spirit, something beyond his ability to animate, now into his ability to deploy. It is at that point that a man is allowed to begin to participate in the enterprise of the kingdom. Another portion of scripture in which Jesus laid out tokens of possession was in Mark chapter 16. Jesus began to bring to his disciples the product of one who had believed the gospel. "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And in case anyone shows up with a claim that he is a believer, you can validate his claims by the signs that were designed to follow the ones who suggest that they are saved. The Bible says this sign shall follow them that believe in the gospel. "In my name shall they cast out devils." It means everyone who has believed in the gospel has been rewarded with the potential to cast out devils. "They shall speak with new tongues." The ability to traffic with a new facility. I might need to pause a little to announce that what was advertised there was not a language, but a new tongue, just like we have physical eyes to see physical things. When we got saved, we were animated onto the activity of a spiritual eye. In the same way, just like our physical tongue, which is a structure for vocalizing the things that go on in our hearts, we will also be given another tool. It will be installed like a hardware. Jesus said they will speak with that new hardware. He was not introducing us into a language. It means it will be possible for some of them to speak the natural language, but with a new tongue. It's for another day. We have stayed so much around church that there are people who speak something that sounds like the new language with an old tongue. That's why, you know, our possibilities are reduced. The sign is that we speak with a new facility. Your natural tongue will be no longer effectual, and then the new tongue will begin to speak. When we look around the tokens of believing, we find out that our new birth gives us replicas of what we had in the flesh. So what they were going to speak with here was new tongues. And when we got into the day of Pentecost, we saw that facility visibly viewed by every one of them. It was a tongue that was coated with fire. Okay, let's run. New tongues. So they will teach scriptures using the new tongues, and it will communicate more than information. It will communicate power. It will communicate conviction, because that's how the facility was measured. It was not measured to end in communication. It was measured to end in the distributions of authority, the distributions of power. It was provision for creation. So that there have been a lot of arguments around the appropriate nature of speaking in tongues, because many people said that Jesus did not speak in tongues. And a few people who have tried to make a case for speaking in tongues have drawn into certain statements that Jesus made that needed to be captured in a language that was different from the language in which our Bibles have been written. But what I've come to understand was that Jesus was equipped with that new facility. He spoke in Hebrew with it, he spoke in Aramaic with it, but the results were different from the results of every other person who spoke in those same known languages. Because in Aramaic, he said to the son of the widow of Nain, "Young man, arise." And death understood the potency of his communication. It was with this same new facility he stood in front of the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter 11 and said, "Lazarus, come forth." What first compliance was that Jesus had a facility, a second tongue, like an auxiliary gear in a vehicle. He had a second tongue. And the Bible is saying that when they believe, there will be provision to speak after the order of the mundane. But when they understand their new existence, they will begin to work their new tool, which is another tongue of itself. And their results will be distinctively different from those who have mastered the mundane. They shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18. They shall take up serpents, the ability to manage the demonic, the satanic, will be unheard of. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And the Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. We can authenticate the things that God has invited us to prove if truly we have embodied them or not. In the same way, when you find a man who is truly thirsty, and by our labors yesterday, we established, or in the previous session, we established that a man who is truly thirsty is one who has found out that there is a gap in his existence, a gap that can only be filled by reconnection to God, and he has beckoned on God for the gift of that which secures reconnection and sustains connection, which is what we spoke about as the gift of thirst. The gift of thirst. Is there a way to come into the cognitive knowledge of a man who is thirsty? I have found in scriptures that there is a cry that escapes from the lips of every man who is truly thirsty. And in case we come close to observe your work in prayers, and we find out that this cry does not find expression within the context of your prayer, it will be proof that you have not possessed the gift, and you will need to continue to labor asking God until he gives it to you. The scripture is replete with the expressions of these men who found that there was something about God that was greater than what was currently being expressed in their generation. Who found that the invitations of God did not end with a man arriving in the presence of the great. That beyond the great, there is he who is called the greatness, and that the man who will touch God, we need to walk away from the things that give value to his life into the places where things that cannot be valued because of the weight of their existence can be touched. I am saying that God does not, the journeys with the Holy Spirit does not end with people. The one who invites us beyond the realms of men into the places where things are truly determined. Actually, the invitations of the Spirit are designed to end inside God himself, because his counsels are as deep as his existence. That's why we have come. That a time will come when the sounds of the mundane will no longer appeal to us. When those who are around you will be able to testify that you may be physically here, but you are no longer here, because there is what attracts you that they can no longer understand. I'm speaking of a day in which we will seek to use many words to define what we have found. But words will be insufficient, because if you have not arrived in the place where I am, you will not be able to understand the things that I am experiencing. Oh, Paul was one of such men who began to speak in Philippians chapter 3. I'm just laying a foundation for my entrance into John chapter 7. Who began to speak in Philippians chapter 3. He had written about 8 of the other epistles, and they were labors in very great spiritual knowledge. He had become so swelled with revelation that God needed, in the bid to keep him humble, to allow a thorn in his flesh. But Paul shows up in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 and begins to ventilate the pantings of his heart. He said that I may know him. You see, when a man has been gifted with that gift which we introduced in the first session, the gift of spiritual thirst, a man's pursuit begins to draw regulations from that gift and no longer from his heart. The average man, when he finds a few things in scriptures, closes his Bible and begins to seek men to speak to. The average man, when he touches something in prayer, he wants to quickly run out to demonstrate what he has found. What keeps men in the secret place, even though they have found so much, is that the gift begins to regulate the man who has possessed it. It begins to control how long he will stay. It begins to dictate his value system, that he can touch the great, but he will still abandon it because he knows that there is something that is stronger. He can come into a revelation that he perceives that nobody has found, but he will go yonder because he has now become a servant of the gift. Woo! Jesus, help us. that the things that we have struggled to lay hold upon, we will know that those things were not designed to express by our struggles. We were designed to be at the mercy of that which we have received. He draws me. He draws me. He draws me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Can we pray for a few minutes? Can we pray for a few minutes? I perceive that there is a sprouting, a spring. That's the word I'm looking for. A spring of the activity of that gift within. Oh, we have labored to stay. We have labored to stay. I have been sent to announce that it is easy to stay. It is easy to stay. Our distractions are a lie. They only become potent when the fellowshipping man begins to draw strength from his natural existence. We were designed to be kept there by the gift of God. Oh, Mama, Kombe Kasatai. The apostles found this secret, the secret of sufficiency. They said, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to do these things. Our sufficiency is of God. The gift must be explored in this season. And we come to gather around the gift of task. The man who does not possess it will labor, and will not be able to touch the depths of God. Oh, thank you. Mamoko sabo to hada kata. Oh, balibro kosatu pahatai. No longer afraid that I will stray, for my life will be regulated by the government of that which you have given. Jesus, we stay. We stay by the gift. We stay by the gift. We stay by the gift. We remain by the gift. We remain by the gift. We stay in prayer by the gift. We stay in the word. Oh, Makaba Bokate Kabasata. I have found out that I was gifted to stay, I was gifted to remain, I was gifted to continue, I was gifted to persist. I ask that the gift will be unburdened in me. Let the shells be taken off as I come into the acknowledgement of the possibilities by the gift. We are the thirsty ones. We were established because we received of him task. We received of him task. We received of him task. We didn't labor for it. It came by the benevolence of God. To the end that a man can be kept following him. To the end that a man can be kept pursuing after him. We rejoice in the gift of God. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. So in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, Paul said that I may know him. The cry of the thirsty. That I may know him. The question is, Paul, your writings propose to us that you have found him, that you have known him, that your intercourse with him is genuine. Why would you, of all sounds, produce a sound that communicates that you are still ignorant of the Christ? My answers in meditation suggest that Paul's submission was because he understood that if a man has not fully discerned him, then that man has not discerned him. That if you have not known him like he knows you, then you have not known him. Paul was not asking for an upgrade in the knowledge of the Christ. He was asking for something fresh. That what I found yesterday still has a gap in it, because there is more that I have not found. Paul is saying, every time I come into fellowship with you, I come as a fresh student. I come not with the accolades. I come not with the trophies that yesterday knowing delivered to me. I come not with the badges that advertise that I have found something in you. The reason why I came is because I know that I have not known you. And I may know you. The cry of the thirsty. Nothing keeps a man in fellowship, in the fellowship of the gift of thirst, like the consciousness that there are still gaps to be filled. There are still gaps to be filled. There are still gaps to be filled. There are still places to come into. Because I started relating with Jesus as a man until I found out that by his being hoisted on the cross, he morphed from being a man, he became a body. Now I need to begin to study the Christ as the body. And while I am yet studying him as Christ the body, I find out that he is the habitat of everyone that has come into the kingdom of God. I have not fully discerned his humanity. Now I am exploring his body expression. Oh, now it's become the habitat. And on the day of Pentecost, we found out that it's not just Christ the man, it's not just Christ the body, it's not just Christ the new ecosystem, it's also Christ the office. So Paul said that I may know you. The last curriculum had not been fully onboarded, and there is a new one that you are introducing. And I have found out that I was not called to find a part of you and just advertise it. I was invited to possess all of you, and I may know you. The cry of the thirsty. In Habakkuk chapter 3, we see the cry of another thirsty man. And if you begin to read from verse 1, you will see a sound that our labors in prayers was designed to mirror. The Bible says a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech. I have heard thy speech. If we subject this verse to newer translations, what the prophet heard was the narratives of the acts of God. We have heard thy speech, that the things that you did left voice in the earth. They were acts that you had worked in the days of our fathers, but their speakings have arrived in our generation. We have heard thy speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. This verse of scripture also advertises to us the possibilities of the prayers, which is the cry of the one who is thirsty. That while one cries to lay hold in greater dimensions or in totality of the Christ, another one brings to recovery the things that God has desperately done amidst his people. That there was a time in Ghana when God was stronger than today. That there was a time when you need not be a man of God before you could occasion the reality of God. A day in which the least of the people of God was as strong as David. That there was a time in Ghana when a man of God had no controversies around the demonic attached to his life. That there was a day of purity. That there was a day in which God was apportioning to the sons of Ham the realities, the graces by which the kingdom of God will find advancement in the last days. And that when he looked upon the nation of Ghana, he deposited his strength in the prophetic. That in the day it began, it was pure. In the day it began, it was unadulterated. In the day it began, there was no witch doctor that could lay claim to the production of prophets. Habakkuk found out that there was another narrative that described the possibilities of the people of God. When that begins to happen, what the thirsty do is to exit the current and then escape back into hallowed antiquity, the last time when God was strong. And then they begin to chart a new course into the future, speaking after this manner that we have heard. We have heard. We have not become so full of ourselves that we presume that God, that the current strength of God that our lives exude is all that God can be. We do not feel that we are the best. We may be highly revelatory, but we believe that there was a day of purity in the land, where in the marketplace, where in the malls, where in the halls of residence for students, God could be occasioned with ease. That there was a time when people came seeking for the true prophetic and came to our shores to pick the realities of God. that these days where our corruption is largely spoken do not really define our essence in God. And he began to cry that there will be a restoration of what was. One of the things that the gift of spiritual task does is that it makes obvious the voids in a generation. It brings them to a place of seeing their emptiness. It brings them to a place of seeing their state of being destitute, that the things that God originally had for them have been lost. It releases a cry for a recovery. Every man who is thirsty will see captured in his prayers the cry for a recovery. I am empty. Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. I want to run over. Abba, fill me up. Sopo mi hande bahata. Kabumbi suga ba kapate kabadianto kote kami mataba. We have read from the books that we have not always been like this. Darkness was not always a potent threat against us. We were in charge in yesteryears, and we are asking of you that you will reoccasion that day. Thank you, Jesus. The statistics reveal that in the nation of Ghana there is a fast increase in the number of the sons of the bondwoman, and that Islam is invading Ghana with ease. We were not always like this. There was a day in which the church was in charge, and the few fathers that are remaining are an attestation that God was not always weak in Ghana. I have found out that the weakness of God amidst the people is not indicative that the great one has diminished in strength. It is because of the absence of accurate men to give him a vessel to operate through. And that's why he has called us back into a retreat. That we will labor in the understanding of what we were and what we could possibly be, and we will yield. Because I perceive that one of the badges that the fathers wore in the day that God clothed them with strength was the badge that showed that they had possessed the spirit of thirst. They were willing to go beyond what walked into what should be. We embrace you, O God. We want to run over. We want to run over. We want to run over. Feel ourselves. Oh, Masoba Balanto Basia Baba Baba Rabinetea. We want to run over. We want to run over. Shamamonke Babana Kiria de Kemamota. Kaba Sontekumbile Kaya Taba. We want to run over. We want to run over. Yes, fill us up. Kabasadon to Kabande Kuta Kabana. Metoka dele monde koliande kisabatata. Bakute mekombi beletaba. Babras kondo menda tombe. Buy some pepini ataba. Oh, oh. We want to run over. We want to run over. We may be strong, but fill us up. We may be mighty now, but fill us up. We may think we're sufficient, but fill us up. The promise was to run over. Yes, that was the promise. Not that we will operate at the brim, but that we will run over. That the territory will come into the impact of that which you have possessed. We give you praise and glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Before we go to John chapter 7, I want to bring to us another cry that advertises the possession of the gift of spiritual thirst. And my reference is from Exodus chapter 33. The man Moses was mighty in his rank. And Jesus, in seeking to give hierarchical expressions to the prophetic company, decided to build not along the lines of their prophetic enterprise, but along the lines of their teachability, the ability to be schooled by the Spirit. And Jesus said that of all of them that came, the meekest among them, the most malleable in the hands of God, was the man Moses. That was what Jesus chose as prophetic ranking. The ability to be lured into fresh perspectives by God. In that statement, we find out the secret of Moses' depth of interaction with God, that his heart was teachable. None as meek as Moses. It will be wisdom to study this man and find out if this same gift was at work in him. And in Exodus chapter 33, Moses, in the 13th verse thereabout, began to place demands upon the Lord. "Now therefore I pray thee," Moses said in prayers, "if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation is thy people." The company of the thirsty is known for selfless existence. They understand that in the days that God wants to fully express in the territory, God may not be able to bring all into recruitment as at the time of need. They understand that the drawings of God upon a few were designed to impact the rest. And so Moses came into the prayer posture, negotiating for the possession of a reality with which he will bring God to the remaining. He said, "Show me now thy way. I have found methods by listening to men. I have found protocols by staying with the spiritual. But I have found out that these protocols have not yielded consistently. I have found that even staying consistent with the protocols have become difficult. There is a way you get it done. There is a system that gives permanency to the spiritual advantage. I want to find it." This was after Moses had dealt with Egypt. He had occasioned 10 plagues that had established the freedom of Israel. He had walked through the Red Sea. And these things were enough to put on a CV to define that truly the man Moses, according to the words of the Lord, had become a great man. Still, Moses was willing to walk away from everything that he has found. He looks to me as though when a man actually gains possession of the gift of taste, one of his most obvious signs is the ability to walk away from a show of greatness. That even when we have done all that we have done, there is still a journey Godward that will be sustained. That we will not prematurely build tabernacles and tents when what he has summoned us is a city that had foundations whose builder and maker is God. In Exodus chapter 33 verse 15, help me. God had just promised Moses of his abiding presence. And the Bible says Moses returned again and said unto God, "If thy presence go not with us, I just promise that your request I will grant." Moses was, you know, in literature terms, like an Oliver Twist. He was wanting more. He was wanting more. And before you begin to ventilate your anger, saying, "Moses, can you not stay with what God has promised?" Moses will be willing to lecture you that it was not my soul producing those witnesses. There was something I embodied when I met God. There was a gift that I received, and the gift is vocal in its expressions. That's what I'm coming to say. That the gift is vocal. Is vocal. You cannot be in doubt if a man is hungry. If you stay around him or thirsty, if you stay around him for a few minutes, his utterances will betray his possession. I want more. Many times I ponder what our generation found that made us stop. What did we find? How many cities do we have under our dominion? How many souls have we actually won? We have found a way of getting them to church, but we have not found a way of getting church into them. They are pressed into a building, but they are yet to press into the kingdom. For in the day that God sees our large multitudes, he comes by his spirit still asking, I sought for a man. There is more. There is more than my followers online. There is more. There is more than the calls from those who call to appreciate what God is doing in my life. There is more. There is more than the sermons I have preached. There is more than the sick that I have healed. He saved me unto a purpose, that in the day that his witness becomes scarce in the ecosystem, he can find a man that he has possessed. There is more. There is more. Oh, there is more. There is more. There is more. There is more. Kama bon kambe kia kaba. Kaba bakata kembokanos. Kali antal. Kambendina. 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 There is more. 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 After people have applauded, oh, can I hear the sound that there is a call to more? We repent for staying back. We repent for celebrating too soon. Lord, we embrace the gates of deeper entrances. We ask for more. We ask for more. We ask for more. We ask for more. This was the cry of Moses. This was the cry of Habakkuk. This was the cry of Paul. Psalms chapter 42 gives us another picture of what the cry of the thirsty looks like. The psalmist began by entering into the shape of a deer, a creature that is created with all grace, but designed to be dependent upon the sightings of water for survival. His beauty undeniably is spoken of by the rest of creation, but his vulnerability as it makes its way through the earth is also unheard of. For as the deer moves, the books indicate that his knees begin to secrete a hormone. A hormone that incites wildness in carnivorous creatures, so that every time it moves, it leaves a scent that converts its existence into the existence of a prey. It increases adrenaline in the predators that surround it. And every time it is chased, every time its survival is threatened, it begins to long for the waters. For in the waters, the hormone finds dissolution, and then the scent escapes and it is safe. The psalmist says, as the deer panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted not for things but for God. Oh, for the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? Oh, there is a day for the congregation. The gift of thirst brings a man beyond the congregation. It brings him into that place where you can stand as one man. When it is about you and I, oh God, I perceive that the dynamics of our motion in the next year will have to do with appearing as one man. As one man. As one man. That yes, you can hear a cry as a congregation, but that I find that secret place where, Lord, it's just you and I. The cry of the desperate. The cry of the desperate. As I begin to close, my submission is that one of the sectors, one of the testing boards for the possession of the gift of thirst, one of the testing boards for the validation of our existence as the testing ones, is the context of our prayers. What do we really want from God? How can prayer, as hallowed as it is, become a platform to seek the mundane when we could in prayers embrace the divine? It is time for us, as we stay in the retreat, to reevaluate the context of our prayers. What did we want from God this year? What do we want from God next year? Do we want the things that are within our reach, or we perceive that there is an invitation to touch the things that are far beyond us? We have been gifted to reach out, and I trust Jesus that in this day we will not default. My anchor scripture actually is John chapter 7, and we can journey a little in John chapter 7 from verse 37 to 39. We stand in awe of you, Holy God, to whom all praise is due. We stand in awe of you. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The assignment of this gift of thirst, which is God's way of establishing that a man has entered into the shape of the thirsty, does not end with the possession of the gift. It is designed to bring a man into a place where that which is drink indeed can be administered. Jesus said, if any man thirst, if any man has found his way into the midst of the company of the thirsty ones, if any man has been exposed to his vulnerability, if any man has been exposed to the insufficiency of God in this dispensation, if any man has been exposed to the dwindling witness of God in the territory, if any man has been lured to juxtapose, put side by side the movements of God in history and the movements of God in our days, and by comparison you have come into the consciousness that indeed God is scarce, if any man has come that far, let him approach, because there is a drinking place. There is a drinking place. I would have loved to begin from verse 1. Let's read the first two verses of this chapter, and then we come back to verse 7, so that you understand what Jesus was doing. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not work in Jewry, because the Jews thought to kill him. There was an allocated corridor that was Jewish. That's what the Bible calls Jewry. Now the Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. So we see a plot set for the cry that Jesus gave forth. The Feast of Tabernacles actually played host to three spiritual rites, and verse 37 was an advertisement of the final rite that summarized the feast. Stay with me. It was actually a Jewish feast that was designed to last for 7 days. And scattered in the midst of the 7 days were three religious rites that established the realities that were celebrated during the Feast of Tabernacles. There was the first of the rites, which takes place every day, each of the 7 days, and it's called the Jewish Rite of the Open Gates. Every morning at dawn, the high priest and the community of priests will approach onto the eastern gate and will embrace the rising sun by declarations. It was a recovery of the consciousness of the God who by light during the day, or who by the pillar of cloud during the day, gave light to Israel to travel with them. It was a recovery of the consciousness. Oh, you were our navigation. Like the rising of the sun begins to give direction to daytime activities, they embraced it in song that again, even though you have brought us into the place that you have promised our fathers, we are not forgetful that it was by your light that we came. Every day of the 7 days. On the second note, there was another event that happened every night throughout the 7 days. It was called the Jewish Rite of lights. They would make sheaves, 12 sheaves representing each of the tribes of Israel, and tie them together and light them at particular locations. This was emblematic of the pillar of fire with which God gave presence and preservation to the children of Israel, that we have come through the wilderness and now we dwell within walled cities, but we are not unmindful of how in the day of our exposure we were still protected. It is to say to God, even though now we have the physical structure that communicates the reality of preservation, you are still our preservation. The last rite, which happens on the last day of the feast, is what they call the Jewish rite of pourings, and that was what Jesus came to express. Isaiah chapter 55. Listen. The Bible says, "Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters." Not to the water, but to the waters. "And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Let me stop there. There was an invitation that Isaiah was giving. It was an invitation that the average Jew understood, because before Isaiah showed up, the feasts were already ongoing. They understood that it was a sound that was designed to be heard on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, when the rites of the waters would be poured. It was everybody's day. There were two assignments for the pourings. One was to literally quench the thirst of men. The other was actually a sign that now the rains of heaven could begin to fall. Because as the priest carried in his hands water and poured upon the ground, it was a sign to the ground that the seasons of thirst are over, and that which has been done was supposed to sort of incite the heavens to begin to pour upon us. But you see, every Jewish feast was designed to be valid until the day that its real fulfillment was occasion. So even though Jesus was not numbered in the priesthood of the day, he took a vantage position beside the water bowl. Hence the fulfillment of Isaiah's invitation not to come to the water, but come to the waters. Because in the day of the fulfillment of this prophecy, there were two water bodies that stood side by side. There was one that the high priest could dip into by ranking and pour on the ground, But there was another water body that Jesus had come to introduce, saying to them, I am the end of this rite. Give me back my writings from John. I'm saying that there's something that we have trafficked, something that only delivered as a shadow. In this day, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. We have come to the waters, and we are privileged to make a choice, to choose, like from the two trees, one that gives life and one that brings us into that return system, where we will need to come back next year to ask for the gift of taste. Where we need to come back after we have spent a whole year to say, Lord, we are sorry for wasting another year. If you have been coming to the retreat all this while, and I believe in what the man of God, Dr. Caris, and every other person is laboring to do, but I'm saying that it becomes an accursed thing that every year we come back at the end to ask God for the same things. The Bible says the path of the just is like a shining light. In newer translations, it says it's like the rising sun that shines brighter and brighter. There must be something that we will find this year that we will not need to find next year. The pourings were only to last for 1 year, to occasion that for the next 1 year it will be possible to have rain on the earth. But Jesus was advertising something that will ensure rain in your spirit permanently. So Jesus cried out on the last day, because in the last day every man's eyes was on the waters. That was the closure rites. Every man was waiting for the high priest to come and pour out with a blessing, so that another year of harvest will happen. Before the high priest took to his role, Jesus, having taken a vantage position, began to announce, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, not to the waters, not to the waters. I am the reality. This was but a shadow. Come to me and drink. There is a currency that occasions the legitimacy of our drinking. It is that we have come to the cognitive knowledge that we are thirsty. I see the void. This cannot be what you died for. My potency cannot be why you hung on the cross. When you said it was finished, I have through scriptures tried to evaluate what you called finished, and I found out that though it has been legally finished, experientially I have not walked into it. There is more to me. There is more to those that I represent. I'm speaking to the ministers now. There is more to those that I represent. This cannot be the church that Jesus died for. There must be something more that made God not choose the blood of bulls and lambs. There was something more that made him condescend and put on the nature of fallen man so that he could die. There was something that the enemy saw that exposed him to that height of brutality. Oh! There was something he saw. My cry is that I become your consolation. Can we pray for a few minutes? I want to be your consolation. Isaiah prophesied about my company. He said he shall see the reward of his suffering and he shall be comforted. The cry of the thirsty is that they will wipe the tears of the Christ. That in my time you will see men rise. Who will make you smile that it was worth it? It was worth it. The dehumanization, the brutalization, the deprivation, oh, the nakedness, oh God, will be worth it. Don't let me die without being a consolation. Don't let me die without being a consolation. Don't let me end my journey without wiping your tears. Don't leave me like this. Don't leave me like this. Oh. Kabahayat.
Please don't leave me like this. Oh Lord. Oh, 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 oh. Please don't leave me like this. Oh Lord. Oh, 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 oh. Please don't leave me like this. Oh Lord.
Akama move kakapa baba kababa bianka baba katemo ko santa kayata. Ikamo kaparanka katego sante kume kaparia kaspopele tata. Beyond many things that my life will express, let me be a consolation. That what you gave up was worth it. What you lost, I gained. What you lost, I gained. The void your absence has created, I stepped into. Ah. Sebo koma bahaya. Thank you, Father. In the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As we sustain the progressions of the retreat, I perceive that what God seeks to first establish is that we become the thirsty ones. However, as we arrive at this identity, may we be helped to understand that there is another giving in God, that the one who gives the spirit of thirst or the gift of thirst gave the gift of thirst in hope that a journey will begin into the place where that which is drink can be given. We were not designed to end our journey with gaps and voids. We were gifted a tool that will keep us perpetually on the path of the Spirit unto the place where we can actually be fed with the drink of heaven, that we may truly not thirst anymore. Once the voids are off, then the thirst dies. So Jesus said, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said. There was an invitation that Jesus was re-echoing. He was saying that I did not originate this utterance, even though I was its fulfillment. He was referring to Isaiah chapter 55. Like that, as there was an invitation to come to the waters, I have come to fulfill that invitation. And if all that you see is an approach, may your hearts go beyond the coming to the waters. May your hand also know that the drink will be administered without a price. If any man will come, let him drink. Let him come and buy and eat. Isaiah said, without money. Jesus is saying that the price of these waters have been paid. No matter the shape with which we came for the retreat, let it be known unto us that the waters are for us. You came battered, you came broken. Maybe the night opened with tears in repentance, and you have sinned your way into a place where you have lost convictions of the ability of God to forgive. This retreat is for you. If you will come in sincerity, he will restore the movements of his spirit back into your heart with the gift, and he will give you the waters so that you will live again. I'm saying that maybe you came as a minister. You began the year on a high note, but as the year advanced, you perceived a dwindling in the expressions of God in your life. This retreat is for you. It's that you come not only to learn, but that you come so that without a currency you can buy, And if at all you are cost oriented, the cost is to come. If you will approach, you will receive. If you approach, you will receive. I want to plead that in the building, the altar can be open. The altar can be open to as many who are desperate not to wait for tomorrow to drink, that they can begin to drink from tonight. Come, 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 come. Allah invites us to come to the waters. He also invites everyone who is weary and heavy laden, because there is rest at the waters. I will give you rest. Let the spirits that inhibit, let the spirits that administer guilt lose their hold, and we cause the altar to be filled with men who are desperately seeking. Come, 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 come beyond the crack of shame. There is a day of re-glorification. Let the prodigals approach unto the altar. I know you have wasted a year, but you can be clothed. There is a new turban. He paid a price for it. And he invites you to come. He invites on you to come. He invites on you to come. For beyond the drink, for beyond the drink, it's a day of expression. And this is where I round up. Beyond the drink, there's a day of expression. So we see a progression as we approach unto the altar, that God begins with a summons. The ones who yield to the summons become implicated with a gift, the gift of spiritual thirst. And with the gift, we begin to traffic towards the one who gives the waters. But you see, the advertisement of imbibing the waters as given by the Christ was not designed also to be an end. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, that I am the water giver, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What occasion the thirst is greater than you? That's why you must come to the altar. What occasion the thirst is a sound from the territory that death is at work. And God's answer is that he releases an army of men in whom are hosted life-giving rivers, that as we break camp in the retreat and we begin to journey back into territory from Accra to Tema, yes, to Takoradi and to every other place in Ghana, what we'll begin to see is an army of life givers, that everywhere we stand, the river will flow. God has the territory in view. That's why he has summoned a few men. And so we want to round up this session with doing business at the altar. You can come. You can come. You can come. You can come. Yes, that all over the building people can rush to the altar. You can exit your seats and approach unto the one who still gives the living waters. Oh, Masotele Bahatolia Tatahaya. What he gives as waters is his spirit. For scripture says he spake of the spirit which was yet to be poured, because Christ was not yet glorified. I came as a testimony of that which heaven has done, that Jesus has been glorified. It means these are days of drinking. These are days of drinking. It's a time to embrace his majesty, that he begins to serve the waters. Oh, Mataba Bebarateta Siata. That if there is anyone that came who is void of the workings of the Spirit, there will be activations. There will be restorations where giftings have died, where expressions have gone extinct. We ask that there will be animations as by the Spirit. For tonight the rivers will flow. Oh, the rivers will flow. The rivers will flow. It will flow from the Christ into the man, and it will flow from the man into the territory. We decree that this exchange of life will be occasioned. This transmission of life will be occasioned as the Holy Spirit recovers his place in the people of God. Oh,
flow. Yes, flow. Yes, flow. Let your spirit flow. Abakelo sota. Oh, flow. Yes, flow. Yes, flow. Let the Holy Spirit flow. Flow into me. That you might flow through me. Flow. Let the Holy Spirit flow. Yeah, flow. Let your Holy Spirit flow, flow, flow. Let the Holy Spirit flow. Shata baba 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 kata. Kaba pombe kombe sopa na kaba bapata. Batembo saito berika bakete. Rieke kakato vekasta. Datos kenko metolia. Lanka papakata. Bato temble kostambe be. Ebe bibika tapalata kabambo sabe. Abratombo mbohante. Pia unsale bataya. Yes. Let there be recoveries, recoveries of the workings of the Spirit. Let there be recoveries. Let the confidence that we are accepted in the beloved be recovered. Let the journeys be reaccepted. Flow, Holy Ghost. Flow, 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 flow. Let your Holy Spirit flow. Let your Holy Spirit flow. Yeah, flow. Moke kom de sukambo kipa kopalikata. Mekom de kifa kapatito kedoska hiliata. Let families, total families be affected. Yes. Let institutions be affected. Let ministries be affected. Because he flows. Because he flows. Because he flows. Let the nation of Ghana. Ikama monte kopa patata. Ateam res kopele kabatombo. Embraske bahai. Oh, let him flow. Let him flow into us. That he can flow through us. Let your Holy Spirit flow. Flow, let your Holy Spirit flow. Let your Holy Spirit flow. Yes, flow. Flow, let your Holy Spirit flow. Alahande behia tabaha. Eya na sohele hide mere huse satabahande hitahaya. For I pour waters on thirsty grounds. 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 And I keep pouring until you are soaked, until you are drenched, until you are worn with the waters. I keep pouring, I keep pouring. See, the Spirit of the Lord, you have labored to sustain the workings and the movements of my spirit. But in this season, I pour. I have rebuked, I have chastised, I have invited, not to hurt, but unto this day of pourings, that by that which my spirit occasions upon you, you can be restored as a tool with which I will reach the nation. I flow, I flow, I flow, that in a day of need you can occasion a flow. Let your Holy Spirit flow. Let your Holy Spirit flow. So you came as a minister.
You just found out that you have become dry because you have fully expended your store. Tonight he flows, and there is a recovery. There is still ministry in you, saith the Lord, and the seasons of emptiness that you have come into are truncated. For my spirit breaks through your gates. Because you came, your gates are broken, and no longer will you go through seasons of scarcity. For the one who gives water will also lead into quiet waters. You will drink your fill, and you will once again stand for me. I came to speak to a minstrel. I see your heart, but I see it stained with mud. And I perceive that though the sounds are still in place, there is corruption that is now administered. So I bring you to the waters, because the waters not only quench thirst, they also serve as washings. So I decree that the one who gives to drink also washes you. He purifies your heart. Let the golden nature be recovered, and let the sounds go forth with purity and with power.
Flow, let your Holy Spirit flow. Let your Holy Spirit flow.
The one who pours the water also blows the wind. I see two altars. One burning brightly, but lacking in wood. I see the other one, it has a little bit of coals on it, and the embers are dying. But he pours in this season. For the water is also the wind. And by wind action, there is life. There is life. There is life. For of the Christ it is said that a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flask he will not quench. By his wind he gives you life. He gives you life. He gives you life. So there is a recovery of prayer fire. There is a recovery of addiction to the word. He does it by the spirit of thirst. Yes. An insatiable craving to fellowship with scriptures. For I see the wood returning as by the spirit, and I see the flame becoming a conflagration.
Let your Holy Spirit flow. Let your Holy Spirit flow. Oh, flow. Flow. Let your Holy Spirit flow. Emanaba konte bebelila basaba babi ahata. Baga kemi mo fegina galado skepra sofi kaba vonke botade go game suske ga kapa pehata. I can conquer Cantabe Hata. Oh, flow. Let your Holy Spirit flow.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For unto you the wells of revelation will reopen. For your heart was lifted in presumption. You occasioned the silence of the spirit of revelation. And you have sustained recyclings of utterances. I bring you the word of God because you came to the waters. The keys to your wells of revelation have been reopened. And now you shall draw deep and you shall draw clean, saith the Spirit of the Lord. He fills the building. He fills the building. He fills the building. He fills the building. His presence is tangible. Oh, me kapa bi komo no kankranda kata. Ranto koskasai wo beto sante kumapaka mbahatata. The rest of the retreat is instructed to be organic, to be organic. As we come into the collisions, multi-collisions with the one who gives out water.
Spirit flow. We ask you to flow.
It is in this vein that we break camp. This vein that introduces restorations, recoveries, and entrances. That beyond our speech we can be pressed into that which makes us a gift in the day that God designs to perform his enterprise in the earth. The company of the thirsty traffic with a cry. The company of the thirsty approach unto him that gives waters. The company of the thirsty drink freely without cost. This company of the thirsty ones ultimately become an asset to God in the day that his armies are designed to march. That by the possession of waters that are living, the land can live. Cause our numbers to be plenty. Cause our camp to be a camp of many. That in this season, in the midst of the distractions that are synonymous with the yellow tide seasons, we will be focused to drink. We receive with thanksgiving. And Lord, for everyone that has approached unto the altar in repentance, according to your word, we ask that you will receive them freely. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Ikamukuteke makababike kuria sekita. Holy Ghost, don't stop with this session. Can you sustain? Can you sustain? Can you sustain your work? Can you sustain your work? You search into deep things. You search all things, yea, even the deep things of God. Can you search into the nooks and the crevices of our lives, and every area you find a void, can you flow into it? Flow. Flow. Let your Holy Spirit flow. Let your Holy Spirit flow. Oh, we are blessed that we came. Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. For my third session, I will trust the Lord to bring to you a burden that I received a little while ago. It's a sermon that I just want to recommend for your retreat session. It is because of a weakening physical body as a result of much stress. I want to recommend the sermon, and it will be communicated to you. It's titled The Burdens for Ascension. And as you do business with it truly, you can come through the layers beyond men, beyond the place of the habitation of spirits, into that place where the voice of God can be heard and relevance to the agenda of the kingdom can be entered into. It captures the cries of our fathers and how that in prayers and in fastings and many sacrifices they labored for this day that God will see rise in our ranks a company of men. The Lord bless and keep you all. He causes his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious unto you in the name of Jesus. God bless you, man of God, for this privilege. I trust Jesus that physically we'll see very soon in the new year. In Jesus' name. Amen. God has an expectation. God has a plan to.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.